Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Blake Topmeyer is the SEC columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. His podcast is SEC Football Unfiltered. Blake, happy Top Gun weekend.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, I was in the dark on all this. I kept seeing like Top Gun pop up on my Netflix and stuff. I didn't know there was a sequel, a remake? What is it?
It's a cinematic experience. Secondly, yes, it is the sequel to the original. Tom Cruise is back. And he didn't do it. He didn't do it for himself. He didn't do it for the money. He did it for all of us, as he told us in Con last week.
You know, what's interesting is the first movie my wife and I saw together was Top Gun. So I feel like it's required viewing for us to watch this sequel.
I'm going Sunday. But speaking of sequels, are we going to get one with Jimbo and with Nick Saban next weekend?
I think it's going to be a one-sided sequel. I don't think Jimbo's going to back down. Like he seems to be enjoying this, whether he should or not, that's a matter of debate, but he still seems wound up. He did that subsequent interview with the San Antonio television station in which his blood was still boiling there. So yeah, I think he might not come off as sharp-tongued as he was initially, but I think he's still going to get a few barbs in. I think Saban's done. I think he's said his piece. And I think he'll step back and more take like a big picture, broad view. I'm the czar of college football, and here's what I think take on things rather than just, attacking Texas A&M.
Now, I will say, from what I understand, Blake, that San Antonio interview that was done like the same day he did that press conference. It just didn't get released until a couple days later, I think. Is what I was.
I think it was the day after that press conference.
Okay.
But yeah, it was a little stale by the time it got released. So I think Jimbo will have cooled some. I just, you know how he is. Jimbo's always on one. He's always ready to lash into something. And having been at this event before, Jimbo doesn't do that many off-season media availabilities, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. And so historically, he's used this scene in Destin to really kind of work himself up over something. So I think we could see him doubling down.
Could we see Jimbo banana daiquiri in hand or something like that, doing it like that, like sipping his tea, if you will?
That would be great.
With peanuts.
At ACC Media Day back in the day when he was at Florida State and I was covering that. I've never seen another coach or any person ever, but apparently –
apparently a West Virginia delicacy.
Yeah, so he would put like, you know, Planters peanuts in his Coke bottle, then drink the Coke with the peanuts in it. And so he would be drinking Coke while also eating Coke-soaked peanuts, if you will.
That's cutting out the middleman there.
Yeah.
Like, why do you need to drink the Coke and eat the peanuts in on the side when you can consume both at once, right? But, I was actually looking through some old archives about this event at SEC spring meetings, and apparently back in the 60s, Tennessee had a coach, Bowden Wyatt, who got angry at a Birmingham sports writer at the spring meetings and shoved him into a swimming pool, according to newspaper accounts.
It's a simpler time.
Yeah, I hope it's not me flying into a swimming pool, but I wouldn't mind seeing Jimbo or any other coach really shove someone into a pool next week.
What's worse, like if you're back then, you're an ink stained wretch with your notepad, you're ruining all your inks all over the place if you fall into the pool, or now where you're falling in the pool with like your cell phone or your recorder. Either way, it feels like a disaster for the reporter.
It really does, although it would make for a great column. And my colleague John Adams, whom both of you know as well, I believe, has always told me that the column comes first.
Yes,
no matter what else you have to sacrifice, the column comes first.
And really, like in the end, we've changed verbiage, but really it's the same thing. It's content. In the end, content comes first. Content is always king.
Yeah, and this event is so good for that. And I think, honestly, better than SEC Media Days.
Way better.
Now, you know, the coaches know that Media Days is on television, and so they really just use it as like a recruiting stump speech. And it's pretty boring. And they get the opening statement filibuster before they get questions. Like at spring meetings, there's no opening statements. There's no television cameras, so they're not speaking to recruits necessarily. They're Q&A scrum sessions for the most part with reporters in a hotel hallway. So it's some fun dialogue normally comes out of this event, and I think that's going to be the case again this year.
Yeah, it's more like you're getting guys in their element.
Well,
they're
more relaxed. And the other thing about Media Days is, Media Days is usually like right before camp starts. Yeah. So it's like they're in peak, like get the message out season. Whereas right now it's kind of, they kind of view it as it's a vacation.
Yeah. Players aren't even on campus really.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So you had an interesting story that people can check out over at commercialappeal.com in which you kind of went through the other storylines that could prop up this next week other than NIL
Blake, isn't this SEC check season? Isn't this when they announce how much money they give out?
I think we maybe already had the check announcement earlier this spring. It is usually sometime right around there. I thought maybe we had that, but maybe not. I don't know. I always, that one kind of, my eyes just glaze over, and it's like, ooh,
yeah,
the SEC made a bunch more money.
It's got a lot of zeros.
Yeah. So what else do you think is going to be interesting this week at these SEC meetings other than the latest in the Jimbo, Nick Saban, NIL saga?
Yeah, I think the two biggest storylines beyond that are, A, the future alignment of the conference and the future scheduling model of the conference after Texas and Oklahoma join. There's been a lot of recent speculation, and I think there's something to this, that the SEC is preparing to move away from its division format because, you know, the SEC went to divisions 30 years ago because of an NCAA rule that said, if you want to have a conference championship, you have to have A, at least 12 teams, and B, you had to be divided into divisions. And so the money-hungry SEC realized this rule, and they said, okay, we'll go grab Arkansas and South Carolina, if for no other reason than that gives us 12 teams, and then we can divide into divisions and have a conference championship. Well, that rule is no longer on the books. It got removed this off season, and so the growing belief is that the SEC is going to at some point dump divisions, have a one big happy 16 team conference, and maybe preserve some rivalries, but you're not going to have the division matchup. So that's one. And then two, I think we're going to hear from Greg Sankey on, like, is this whole idea of an SEC only playoff a bluff, or are you really serious about engaging in the thought that the SEC could throw its own party and let everybody else do whatever they want after the current playoff contract expires? I actually don't think it's a total bluff. I don't think it's the SEC's preferred outcome, but I think if they don't get what they want in playoff expansion, if these other conferences want to insist on eight teams, Sankey said all along, he's not playing ball with eight teams. And so I don't think it's an empty threat. I think if the other conferences continue to insist on eight teams, Sankey may just say, well, we'll take our ball and go home and have our own playoff.
In the end, doesn't it feel like that's where it's trending? Because so many of these
other leagues will buckle.
So this would be my argument, and y'all can poo-poo it. In the end, all of the court rulings have said the conferences can make their own rules. The simplest answer to keeping your league happy, I think, is essentially to break away and start coming up with your own rules about, you know, if you want to do this salary cap thing, because I think it's interesting. I was asking Calkins the other day, and Calkins has a law degree. So everyone does the whole, well, if you pay the players, there's going to be Title IX implications. You're going to have to pay the women as well, and all the other athletes. What if you make them employees? If you make them employees, like no one complains that the softball pitcher doesn't make the same amount of money as the Nobel laureate professor. Like if you make them employees, doesn't that circumvent this at some point?
I think it does. And I think that's if these coaches and conference administrators, athletic directors, et cetera, if they don't accept this NIL landscape, if they continue to grumble about this, continue to complain about it, well, the alternative to that is classifying athletes as employees and paying them actual wages beyond scholarships, beyond room and board, paying them wages, making them employees, and signing them to employment contracts. I think that's the alternative to the NIL thing. And it's like nobody wanted that up until the point where they saw the NIL landscape, and now it's all like, whoa, we need a salary cap. We need these guys on contracts. It's like, okay, well, you always had that option to pay the players, and you didn't want it before.
No, and I mean, that was, we were joking about with Cobb. Weirdly, if you create that environment, because Cobb's point is, well, you know, what about the extra benefits that'll happen? It's like, weirdly, it's like a reverse chronological order, but that kind of would be, in that sense, what NIL was supposed to be. The ones that'll get extra deals, and I'm sure there's always going to be some funny business, but that's up to you to kind of legislate and to police it. But then you could see guys getting, you know, additional deals for their name, image, and likeness. It's like, we took a long way to get there, but it's almost like that would be the system that they're intending for this to be right now, that it obviously is not.
Yeah, what would be interesting thing is the NIL deals in that landscape of athletes being employees, would they be more geared toward retaining talent? Maybe not. I don't know. Or do you use them entirely then to try to woo talent recruits? And I actually think even if we just stick with the current model and you don't make athletes employees, I actually think some of this is going to level out anyway. Like, aren't boosters going to get burned a few times when they throw some ludicrous deal out to a five-star recruit?
Blake, that wouldn't be the first time.
Well, that's true.
I mean, the reason why Auburn came under fire with Cam Newton is Cam allegedly and the family took $180,000 from Mississippi State.
Yeah, that's true, and at some point, you know, the money always flows to the five-star recruits, right? But in terms of just this ludicrous amount, I mean, good, smart business would tell you you should pay for the proven commodities, right? If you're going to be throwing around these mega deals, make sure you're throwing them at proven transfers or at guys who are considering transferring to ensure that they don't. I actually thought Lane Kiffin had an interesting comment in his interview this week with Sports Illustrated. He said, Bryce Young should have gone to the transfer portal. Not that he should have transferred. That's not what Kiffin was saying, but saying he should have gone.
He should have tested free agency.
Yeah, and essentially said, if you guys want to keep me, Alabama, throw some more money my way. Now, I think there are some downsides to that, just like folks like you and I. I mean, if we want to get more money, sometimes the best thing to do is to apply for another job and get another offer from another company.
For sure.
Just to try to get a raise. I mean, you know, I think we've all engaged in that thought.
Listen, it's Jimmy Sexton 101. Even if your coach is happy, float out that he wants to go to, you know, Kansas.
Right. Yeah, the coaches do this all the time. But that doesn't mean you apply for, you know, I'm not updating my resume every 2 days to applying to jobs just to try to get a raise. Like, I think there are limits to that. And I think you, at some point, put your reputation on the line. Like, if you're hopping in the portal every 3 weeks to try to get more NIL money, like, at some point, I think that backfires on you a little bit. But I do think that Kiffin's onto something there. Like, even if you really don't want to transfer, you do the whole Jimmy Sexton thing. You say, maybe I'll look around here a little bit. Oh, no, all I wanted was a raise.
Yeah. No, it's
well, I mean, here's the thing, though. I agree with you in the sense of The one caveat that I have with this is boosters have proven, at least in my lifetime, while most of them are usually pretty good business people, they're not great business people when it comes to their football team. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden their instincts like just go out the window. And it's just because it's such an emotional, you know, it's not a rational, reasonable market. And so, but my big deal is like, I don't really care if the market doesn't settle. Like it's just kind of, you know what I mean? Like we're here.
I don't really care either. Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, and we've talked about this before and I keep coming back to it, who is harmed in this model? The athletes aren't harmed. They're getting money, even if the boosters maybe are stupid to be paying this much money. The boosters aren't harmed. They get to spend their dollars where they want. The coaches have to work harder some levels, I guess.
The coaches,
that was the other comment, though, that Kiffin had that I thought was interesting, which is he had a story of a guy that never visited and whatnot. Coach never met with the kid. NIL deal goes to the kid. Some of these coaches may have to work less.
To an extent, yeah. I think you're working harder on retaining players.
Yeah,
probably re-recruiting your roster at a new level. That's probably fair, yeah.
Exactly, yeah, and mining the transfer portal and all that. And then maybe you just get these recruits who fall out of the sky thanks to an NIL deal. It's like, oh, hey, yeah, thanks for choosing us.
You know who the victims are? It's like the coach's wife and kids who probably didn't see their father or mother, if it's a woman's coach, enough. And now they're going to see them less because it's just it's a harder job now in terms of time consuming.
See, actually, in my experience with most of these coaches, they don't see their families a lot anyway.
That's what I'm saying. It's like,
I don't know if that's really, I think though, what it really affects is it affects like 3-star high school kids.
Yeah, them too.
Like, I don't think
there's not as many opportunities for them.
Their opportunities are going to be at these lower levels, and then you're going to, like, it's literally going to be like a European soccer model. You're going to go to a smaller school or a smaller program, hopefully play well and try to play your way to a bigger team. Like, it feels like that's the system that's in place. But I guess if you want to say maybe long-term, who does it harm is, I guess you can make the argument universities, because it seems like at a certain point these boosters are going to realize, okay, I'm not putting my money into the facilities and whatnot. I'm putting it straight into these collectives. Mm-hmm. And I guess you can make the argument that, and eventually maybe the coaching salary market or the sizes of staffs. But, I mean, I don't know if that necessarily makes them victims.
Yeah, it harms coaches and ADs. You know, ADs basically have two jobs. They may not like hearing this. But I've had at least one athletic director admit to me that, yeah, they basically have two jobs. One is hiring and firing coaches, and two is raising money for facilities projects. And so,
and maybe not in that order.
And maybe not in that order, yes. If things are going good, you're not hiring and firing as many coaches. But, yeah, I mean, if you're pumping the same boosters for facilities money as you know, these are the same boosters that are funneling money to collectives, it might be a little harder to prime that pump Nowadays. But guess what? I think, you know, many of us would say this is where money should have been going all along. And especially when you look around at these football facilities that are far superior to what NFL facilities are, it's like at some point you're just raising money just to raise money, just to keep up with the Joneses, just because it's like, well, this is what we do. And now we got this money, so we'll go spend it on something. And the two things you spend it on are you either pay your coach even more money, even though some of these coaches aren't going anywhere anyway, like where's Kirby Smart going to go? He's not going anywhere. He just won the national championship, so you give him a raise. That's fine. But yeah, it's like you spend the money right now either on coaches, giving them more money, or on facilities that are probably already glamorous anyway. And so some of this is now redirected toward the athletes, and depending on which side of the aisle you're on, I think you'd say that's probably where the money should have been going all along.
Well, I do wonder if, like, a weird unintended consequence, like, we talk about in college sports, like, they don't really have to be good business people. Like, half the times, you know, you and I talked about this with Jeremy Pruitt's extension, you know, 2 years ago. They were bidding against themselves. Maybe this creates a situation where you've got to be better with money and you have to start making better decisions.
I think it could rein that in, maybe. I mean, it seems like that that train is really still rumbling down the track. The other thing I wonder, though, is if it does it rein in the buyout money? Like,
yeah.
Are you a little less willing to flush tens of millions of dollars down the drain, particularly because, and we've talked about this before, too, the biggest surefire way to lose a rash of transfers, you know, coaches and administrators bemoan players going in the transfer portal. Well, the quickest way to do that is to fire your coach.
Yes.
I mean, that's a guarantee you're going to have all kinds of guys transfer. So maybe this pumps the brake on some of that a little bit, like the ridiculous buyouts schools pay to coaches when they, you know, could otherwise, not give them these never-ending contracts, or B, you know, maybe don't fire a guy like Gus Malzahn, who had 8 straight winning seasons, and replace him with a guy who went 6-7. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Kiffin said so many interesting things there because, like a lot of times with Lane, basically he was just spitting straight truths. And the thing I respect about it is he pretty much acknowledged that, you know, look, this is probably the way it's supposed to work. Like, it does create some hurdles and it creates some difficulties, and now coaches are maybe having to answer to the boosters a little more than they already did. And, you know, I mean, Kiffin's one of those that wants a salary cap, but to have a salary cap, you have to have actual salaries from the schools.
Well, and a players' union.
Employee status. Yeah, a union, employee status, all that. But a lot of what he was saying is just straight truths. Like, yes, coaches have to answer to more people now. It basically makes coaches' lives more difficult at the expense of players have more power, players are getting paid, and Kiffin really wasn't grumbling with that concept of it.
Real quick, you mentioned that, you know, you think over the next week or so we'll get a firmer grasp on what the SEC schedule might look like without divisions. Do you have a guess at what we could see in terms of a scheduling philosophy moving forward for the SEC if there's no divisions?
ESPN
I think
wants.
My leading guess would be the so-called 3-6 model, where you have three permanent rivals that you play every year and then six teams that rotate. That would allow you to play every SEC team at a minimum of once every 2 years. I think the difficulty in this model would be creating equitable schedules. Like, you know, what if your three rivals are three really good teams and another team's three rivals all stink? Like, there's going to have to be some give and take with that model of trying to create equitable rivalries and make sure not, you know, one team doesn't get three loaded rivals and the other team gets three cupcakes. So you're going to have to try to preserve actual rivalries while offering some balance. That to me is the hurdle of that, but I think that's where the SEC probably lands. The 9-game schedule with three permanent rivals and six rotating games.
And also shout out, knowing that the pod system was not popular, just call it 3-6 and then everyone's like, oh yeah, totally, that works. Because that's all it is. It's a pod system.
Yeah. Do you think we'll get any sort of clarity on when Texas and Oklahoma might be joining this league?
I think it'll still be the company line of, well, their contract says they can join in 2025. Like, unless the SEC is willing to step in and buy out that contract for Texas and Oklahoma, you know, everybody, I guess, kind of assumes that this is going to happen sooner. But I don't know. I think Texas and Oklahoma has sort of drawn the line in the sand of it doesn't make financial sense for them to break that contract and pay the stiff penalty. And so unless the SEC, you know, like almost like a school that's hiring a new coach, the coach never has to pay the buyout from the school he's leaving. The school that hires them covers the buyout. So to me, it's like, unless the SEC is going to step in and say, hey, you guys are good, we'll cover your buyout to the Big 12. I don't know. I guess I could see it not happening until 2025.
Interesting. Blake, we appreciate it, man. Have a good Memorial Day weekend.
Okay, sounds good. You guys too.
That was Blake Topmeyer, the SEC columnist for the USA Today Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.